From Eagle Forum, Mrs. Schlafly is a constitutional attorney, pro-family leader, and the author of more than 20 books, including No Higher Power, Obama's War on Religious Freedom, an important new book that exposes the undeniable campaign to secularize America by the Obama administration. And now, here's the president of Eagle Forum, Phyllis Schlafly.
Dr. Mark Edmondson is a prize-winning scholar, author, and professor at the University of Virginia. He has a new book called Why Teach? He shares his perspectives on students, parents, fellow professors, and institutions. He calls on professors to be uncool, to grade hard, and to challenge students, even though they may face fallout for it from today's atmosphere of grade inflation and being nice to the students. He encourages parents to allow children to experience the hard knocks of everyday life. He emphasizes the necessary role of failure. Dr. Edmondson says, real reading is a higher form of conscientiousness. He claims good literature allows one to experience the joy of seeing the world through the eyes of people who are more sensitive, more articulate, shrewder, more alive than they themselves are. He says the magic of words unleashes the power of imagination. That is what students taught by the Common Core standards will miss because they have substituted so many informational texts instead of great literature. The author criticizes group projects and classes that rely on the exchange of student ideas. Students don't require the information that produces a worthwhile conversation. He also exhorts educators to stop these readings, which are really deconstructing literary works from the perspectives of gender, race, Marxism, Freudian, and other artificial constructs that venture from the author's intent and show no respect for the book on its own merit. The title of this book is Why Teach? In Defense of a Real Education by Dr. Mark Edmondson.
Would you like a complete record of Barack Obama's hostility toward Christianity? Every insult to our Creator God and every executive order that undermines religion is documented in the new book, No Higher Power, Obama's War on Religious Freedom, by Phyllis Schlafly and George Neumeyer. Get your copy of No Higher Power where quality books are sold, or visit eagleforum.org. Thanks for listening, and join us again for the Phyllis Schlafly Report.
If you're worried about your health and you're tired of the nasty side effects of harsh drugs or antibiotics, then look no further. Supernatural Silver is the answer. Supernatural Silver is a powerful immune system enhancer that can be used every day to help keep you healthy and well with none of those nasty side effects. It's extremely safe for use internally as well as topically. And Supernatural Silver is hundreds of times more effective than colloidal or ionic silver. It is perfect for use in the sinuses, eyes, ears, and on any wound or skin issue. Supernatural Silver is also extremely effective when taken orally and can help fight off bacteria, viruses, and mold that may be overwhelming your immune system. Go to SupernaturalSilver.com, SupernaturalSilver.com, and use the promo code SILVER2014 for 20% off of your entire order. And give yourself and your loved ones a fighting chance with Supernatural Silver.
World-renowned physician and stem cell expert Dr. David Steinblock, D.O., and his research staff have spent years developing all-natural formulations that support the body's own stem cell production and mobilization system. An everyday stem cell supplement, creating the birth of Stemgevity. Stemgevity stem cell mobilization formula is for use by men, women, and children of all ages to support your body's stem cell system naturally, quickly, and safely. Stemgevity helps support your heart and circulatory system, bones and joints, liver, skin, brain, and much more. Order your bottle now at Stemgevity.com today. That's Stemgevity, Stemgevity.com. Or call now toll-free, 800-300-1063. Buy two bottles and receive a third bottle free by mentioning RBN. Anyone who wants to get healthy needs Stemgevity. Call 800-300-1063 today.
There are many water filters to choose from, but there is only one system that is consistently customer rated 5 stars as the number one system for effective filtration of fluoride, radiation, drug residues, heavy metals, a wide range of radioisotopes, and more. Introducing the PureFect Ultra, the next generation water filter that also raises alkaline pH, improves antioxidant potential, and has advanced anti-radiation technology, all while using no electricity. Sold worldwide, it provides virtually instant clean water on demand. It is not made in China, and the shipping is free to all 50 states. Buy your PureFect Ultra today by visiting PureFectFilters.com. Or call 888-891-4821. Again, that's 888-891-4821. Or visit PureEffectFilters.com.
Anyone could honestly believe that people in times past could not afford to eat and have things because their money was valuable is beyond me. But there it is. So who writes this stuff? The same people who claim that gold is worthless as money because you can't eat it. And you know what? They're absolutely right. You can't eat it. But what does that have to do with using gold as jewelry, in electronic circuitry, or even as money? Just immerse yourself in this subject for a while, and you'll be amazed at the absurdities people accept as if they actually made sense. Is an automobile worthless, for example, as a means of transportation because you can't eat it? And why anyone would desire a $10 million biz jet made of non-digestible aluminum, we could only speculate. Iron ore, lead, bituminous, and anthracite coal, along with spruce, pine, and fir trees, probably fail the edibility and nutrition test as well. Likewise, Federal Reserve notes, checks, credit, and debit cards. Advocates of economic reform seem to be popping up on every street corner, repeating any nonsense they heard which might support their fallacies, one of which is that Congress has the inherent power to create and issue money. This is said to be the prerogative of any sovereign government. So they might even list a few dictatorial regimes that have done so. As if this has any relevance to America's monetary system, which was not founded upon their unlawful premise. So lots of time, energy, and data are expended in support of a position that has no bearing on constitutional or biblical truth and is simply flat-out wrong. Our last message closed with a summary of 28 economic myths that were covered in far greater detail during the 40-part series, which might suggest that this was the full extent of modern economic mythology. Not so, however. There were additional myths presented in the Truth in Money book, written by Theodore Thorne and Richard Warner, in their third edition for 1989. We covered those early in our last series, so you might want to review the archives for some incredible statements that two civil engineers presented as modern economic wisdom, several of them based on the faulty premise mentioned a moment ago regarding federal sovereignty and domestic affairs. On page 237 to page 239 in their book, The Truth in Money book, these authors, in an Appendix 3, list 18 principles of a system they propose to replace the Federal Reserve. Their replacement would terrify most of our constitutional forefathers. I'll quote only one of them, number 14, on page 239, so our new listeners can get an idea what kind of absurdities these authors propose as lofty and unassailable principles for a free society. Listen carefully to what an aeronautical engineer and a mechanical engineer had to say. Quote, a sovereign government, there it is, exercising its monetary authority, creates money and spends it into circulation simply by, listen carefully now, writing good checks against no funds to pay for authorized national expenditures, end quote. Would you dare to sign your name to a statement like that one? There are no less than five substantial errors in that one sentence. First, the Constitution never established the federal government, of which they speak, as a sovereign power in matters over domestic or internal affairs. This was covered in detail in our last series, but in a nutshell, the courts consistently upheld this position for over 80 years, and the Constitution was never amended to make it otherwise. Second, we the people, spoken of in the preamble to the Constitution, never granted to Congress any so-called monetary authority to create money, which, had it been granted, would have appeared in Article 1, Section 8, and Paragraph 5. It's not there. Third, it's amazing that two civil engineers could identify a good check as being written against no funds. But how they would ever recognize a bad check, they didn't say. Fourth, they provided no legal theory to explain why government should be allowed to steal with worthless checks, while we, the people who created that government, are prohibited. Their tyrannical double standard differs from how Thomas Jefferson, for example, viewed government when he said, tyranny is defined as that which is legal for the government, but illegal for the citizenry. Fifth, Mr. Thorne and Mr. Warner didn't explain how a check written against no funds could possibly pay out or deliver any money when there is no money in an empty account. As our regular listeners know, I'm a dinosaur from the past who delights in knowing how the experts define their terms. More often than not, they don't. You're supposed to guess, which is exactly what they're doing. So don't be surprised when the experts are unable to define any of the words you're presumed to understand, like the word money, medium of exchange, dollar, pay, paid or payment, credit, debt, currency, bill of credit, a note, legal tender, lawful money, capital, a loan, or what they mean by the gold standard. In today's message, we're going to begin an examination as to the underlying spiritual cause for America's economic calamities and why there has been no solution forthcoming since the Federal Reserve System was created 100 years ago. Now, by highlighting the Federal Reserve Act of 23 December 1913, I'm not trying to suggest that our economic problems began at that point, only that it's a significant mile marker in America's 300-year economic history. It was the longest contest ever fought on American soil and precipitated many horrific national distresses along the way. That contest between lawful money and legal tender, which I call legal plunder, ended in the final victory for a cashless society that began 50 years ago. Today's message is going to be values clarification, and since this is a new series, we're going to make this part one. You're listening to Dataline, and I'm Bruce G. McCarthy, your host, and I hope you join me on the other side of this break.
I'm Larry Pratt of Gun Owners of America, and I want to invite you to join the Second Amendment movement with Gun Owners of America, the only no-compromise gun lobby in Washington. Take action by becoming a GOA member today by going to gunowners.org. Gun Owners members receive the GOA newsletter, fact sheets, alerts, certificates, and more. But there's more to joining GOA than just a list of member benefits. The united voice of GOA members has been successful in defeating restrictive legislation designed to disarm our population. GOA has helped get strong constitutional members of Congress like Senator Ted Cruz elected. And with your help, GOA will continue to successfully defend the rights of gun owners in the courts. Participate in our efforts to restore and preserve the nation's right to keep and bear arms. All contributions to our lobbying efforts are used exclusively to support or oppose firearms legislation. Join online at gunowners.org.
A suppressed medical breakthrough guarantees anyone total health power with a simple device. That sounds impossible, doesn't it? In fact, it sounds like snake oil. How is it that something so simple could make such a profound change and isn't headline-making news? What if I told you it was? What if I told you in March of 1991 the news was groundbreaking? If you're like most people, you're wondering if this is true. We'll show you why your doctor hasn't told you about this. Go to drbeckprotocol.com or call 928-853-2821.
This is not legal advice. This is a public service announcement from takefromcaesar.us. Only one statute explains how to tax your paycheck. Tax Code Section 83. In decisions from 1979 to 2011, the courts say Section 83 governs the taxation of all compensation for personal services, but the IRS lies on the stand, claiming to be unfamiliar with Section 83. Only one person can explain what Section 83 means, David Merlin. Visit takefromcaesar.us for more information.
World-renowned physician and stem cell expert Dr. David Steenblok, D.O., and his research staff have spent years developing all-natural formulations that support the body's own stem cell production and mobilization system. An everyday stem cell supplement, creating the birth of Stemgevity. Stemgevity stem cell mobilization formula is for use by men, women, and children of all ages to support your body's stem cell system naturally, quickly, and safely. Stemgevity helps support your heart and circulatory system, bones and joints, liver, skin, brain, and much more. Order your bottle now at Stemgevity.com today. That's Stemgevity, Stemgevity.com. Or call now toll-free, 800-300-1063. Buy two bottles and receive a third bottle free by mentioning RBN. Anyone who wants to get healthy needs Stemgevity. Call 800-300-1063 today.
Well, thank you for joining us on Dataline. Today's message is Values Clarification Part 1. The purpose of today's message and the succeeding or following messages will be to define values, to establish their source, and to highlight a few specific areas where America's socio-political and economic values have changed remarkably from those of our forefathers. While we continue to focus on economic values, while shifting from problem orientation to solution in this new series of interrelated messages. And just a quick note to our new listeners, our message format differs from other talk radio programs in several particulars. The subject matter that we discuss remains relatively stable from one broadcast to the next. Our program content is not driven by the latest mainstream media headlines that rely upon shock value instead of truth and understanding to sell copy. We cross-reference political and economic history to the scriptures for a better understanding as to why America's socialist flight plan is the product of modern religion. And in the interest of economy and good stewardship with our time, we don't take calls from listeners, but you may submit questions or comments by email if you can tolerate my tardy or occasional non-replies. And you can go to our homepage to find out that email address. Because this new series will focus on values, a subject pertinent to economics, certainly, and because this includes a subjective, emotional, or spiritual component inherent to the nature of mankind in general, and to our English and European forefathers in particular, I will refer to the book from which most of those children learned their moral values and were guided in their understanding of self-government. Now, it's not my goal to convert you to that old-time religion, but rather to put the topic of discussion in a proper historical context. Besides, a man convinced against his will is unconverted still. You are going to believe what you want to believe, in spite of my efforts, you see. For our opening text, we're going to turn to Matthew chapter 10 and verse 29, Matthew 10, verse 29, where the Lord Jesus Christ said, "Are not two sparrows sold for a farthing, and one of them shall not fall on the ground without your Father?" That means without your Father in heaven taking notice. "But the very heads of your, very hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear ye not, therefore, ye are of more value than many sparrows." Well, those are certainly comforting words. But modern-day followers of Christ and their offspring are not as valuable to the government their constitutional forefathers created as the snail darter, spotted owl, seal, whale, and other creatures designated as endangered species, worthy of salvation in the eyes of environmental organizations and government agencies bent on rewilding America. To the contrary, Christians and their values are assaulted by an increasingly hostile state which fronts openly for the forces of evil. Now, not as you or I might define evil, but as the God of Scripture defines evil. For society to legislate the protection of wildlife while at the same time legalizing the destruction of their own offspring makes clear that a contrary set of values has been adopted from those which guided our ancestors. Their philosophy of life differed from the beliefs currently held by many Americans who might feel a bit uncomfortable if confronted by that old-time religion. It's easier to say that no such religion existed, but that does little to explain why New England is still peppered with church meeting houses of the Revolutionary period, why colonial legislation lifted its authority from Scripture, why early textbooks quoted extensively from the Bible, why the commandments of God were posted in public schools and other public buildings, why the Bible was the book upon which a courtroom or presidential oath was taken, and why so many prominent figures quoted from that book, and a few still do. Philosophy seeks to answer the question why with respect to the issues of life, and religion in general, Christianity in particular, is the philosophy that explains the moral principles or spiritual values transmitted from God to man. That field of study we call theology, as opposed to physics, chemistry, and biology, which philosophies explain the physical world. Evolution, on the other hand, is a deceptive religion, taught as if it were science, and is a necessary pillar to support a socialist political economy run by the godmen who refuse to be guided by or judged according to a standard of values originating from anyone other than themselves. Leaders of international socialism like Vladimir Ulyanov, better known by his alias Vladimir Lenin, set the tone with regards to the value of gold, for example, long ago, by declaring that its properties were best suited for manufacturing toilets. Fortunately, porcelain and common sense are still in the lead when it comes to the manufacture of toilets. Gold and silver were called barbaric metals by socialist professors of my generation, and their avid disciples spread this nonsense like an airborne plague. Considering these and other slanderous attacks that have been made against gold and to some extent silver, is it any wonder that very few people even recognize a gold or silver coin these days? Below the age of 50, many of these people are unaware that our coins were even made of silver. However, if you flash them some high-tech bank plastic, the world suddenly becomes your oyster. But what saith the scripture with regards to gold, for example, and its value or its worth? Well, in Genesis chapter 2, verse 11 and 12, we read about a land called Havilah. And in the land of Havilah, there is gold, and the gold of that land is good. A rather interesting beginning, Genesis chapter 2 of the Bible. In Genesis chapter 13 and verse 2, we read about a man named Abram, before his name was changed by God to Abraham, and how he was rich in cattle, in silver, and in gold. In Genesis chapter 23, verse 12 through 16, we read about the first real estate transaction where Abraham, after his name change, purchased land to bury his wife Sarah. And what did he buy the land with? Silver. How much of it? 400 shekels of silver. And a shekel was about 220 grains of silver, or just about 1/2 ounce. In Exodus chapter 25, verse 1 through 3, God tells Moses to receive from the Israelites several substances as offerings. The first three that he mentions are gold, silver, and brass, which is rather significant since it was our European forefathers and our forefathers here on our own soil who use gold, silver, and brass, copper is the primary component of brass, as our lawful money. In Exodus chapter 25, verse 11, we read about the Ark of the Covenant, how it was overlaid in gold. So the Ark of the Covenant was gold-plated. In 2 Chronicles 25 and verse 6, we read about a king named Amaziah. He was a king of Judah. Now he hired 100,000 soldiers from the northern kingdom of Israel. This was when Judah and Israel were divided, even though they were all Israelites. And this was for 100 talents of silver. How much was that? Well, that's 300,000 shekels of silver, and a shekel, again, is approximately 1/2 ounce. So for about 150,000 ounces of silver, he hired 100,000 soldiers, which means each one would receive about 1.5 ounce of silver. That's pretty valuable stuff. Would you go to war for 1.5 ounce of silver? Not at today's values, but maybe you might have back then. Well, there's our music. Here's our next break. You are listening to Datum Line. Values Clarification, Part 1.
Sure, there are winter specials, and then there are super winter specials at HerbalHealer.com. Battle through this cold and flu season with powerful, natural, and safe flu fighters like elderberry power, orégasillin, olive leaf capsules, grapefruit seed extract, and Resper 8, all specially priced during the winter sale at HerbalHealer.com. Don't forget vitamin D3 this winter. Right now, HerbalHealer.com has 120 soft gels, 1,000 IUs, sale priced at only $9. We also have a super winter special on 6 homeopathic liquid detoxes. Whole body detox, liver detox, kidney detox, lymph detox, brain detox, and lung detox. All liquid detoxes, regularly $26.95, are now just $20. HerbalHealer.com. As always, new customers get a free 128-page catalog with your order. Log on now and save big when you hit the winter specials at HerbalHealer.com. Healing the world with nature, one person at a time, since 1988.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website, by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
If you're worried about your health and you're tired of the nasty side effects of harsh drugs or antibiotics, then look no further. Supernatural Silver is the answer. Supernatural Silver is a powerful immune system enhancer that can be used every day to help keep you healthy and well with none of those nasty side effects. It's extremely safe for use internally as well as topically. And Supernatural Silver is hundreds of times more effective than colloidal or ionic silver. It is perfect for use in the sinuses, eyes, ears, and on any wound or skin issue. Supernatural Silver is also extremely effective when taken orally and can help fight off bacteria, viruses, and mold that may be overwhelming your immune system. Go to SupernaturalSilver.com. SupernaturalSilver.com and use the promo code SILVER2014 for 20% off of your entire order and give yourself and your loved ones a fighting chance with Supernatural Silver.
That moment of panic. Sheer terror, really. You're afraid to answer the phone, frightened by who might be at the door. If you're facing foreclosure or being harassed by debt collectors, you know the feeling. You need to visit whatliesinyourdebt.com to turn the tables on the banksters, collection agencies, and other crooks. Whatliesinyourdebt.com has solutions. Whatliesinyourdebt.com features live training webinars from experts, a member forum, support from experts who've been where you are right now and came out the other side in a better financial situation. If you are like millions of Americans who are behind on their mortgage, behind on their credit cards, or just being harassed by debt collectors, then this system is for you. We promise. If you cannot stop your foreclosure, even if it's imminent, if you cannot stop those debt collectors from bugging you, if you cannot clean up your credit, and finally, if you cannot make a few $1,000s during the entire process, make money from the debt collectors, yes, at whatliesinyourdebt.com, we will refund your money 100% in the first 60 days. Don't fear the bill collectors anymore. Visit whatliesinyourdebt.com.
How important is the air you breathe? Our air purifiers produce activated oxygen, called Aerin. Activated oxygen is the natural enemy of odors, pollutants, and many other harmful substances, yet it's completely safe. Our powerful air purifiers unleash the power of a thunderstorm, destroying pollutants in the air we breathe. It destroys many viruses, bacteria, and fungi, kills molds, and oxidizes chemical fumes and toxic gases. It removes smoke, pollen, and pet odors. Made with quality stainless steel, our portable air purifiers come with a manufacturer's 4-year warranty. If you haven't experienced the Aerin process of fresh, clean air, then call us today and receive 10% off your order. 877-605-9200. Again, that's 877-605-9200. Time for you to breathe clearly again. 877-605-9200.
Oh, welcome back to this segment, the second half of Datum Line, and messages, values, clarification, part one. We were discussing a few verses of scripture concerning the substance, gold, which you remember Mr. Lennon said was only worthy for manufacturing of toilets. Well, here's David in Psalm 19 at verse 7, starting off with the words, "The law of the Lord is perfect." Verse 8 begins by saying, "The statutes of the Lord are right." Verse 9 begins, "The fear of the Lord is clean." But Psalm 19 verse 10 says, "More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold." Would David have compared the law of God to a substance that was only worthy of being used to manufacture toilets? No. And David was not a communist, socialist, Marxist, Leninist, fascist. In Psalm 119, verse 72, he says, "The law of thy mouth," that's God's mouth, "is better unto me than thousands of gold and silver." Well, he had to compare it to something that was valuable. He didn't compare it to wood, hay, or stubble. Jeremiah chapter 32, verse 9 and 10, we read about how Jeremiah purchased land for 17 shekels of silver. I could go on and on. You see, international payments were settled in gold and silver up until just recently. And when one kingdom went to war with another, the loser generally paid tribute to the winner in in gold and silver. Treasuries were looted of their gold and silver by invading armies. The words gold, golden, money, and silver appear in the Bible over 800 times, and I've only quoted 9 of those references. It's mentioned either in a positive or in a neutral sense, with very few references, if any, identifying gold or silver in a negative light. Now, some people might say, oh, yeah, the Bible talks about how the love of money is the root of all evil. And the word money there, by the way, is the word silver. It's argentium, if you go to the Greek. Okay? But it's not the gold or the silver that was the evil. It said the love of money. And there's a difference. Now, lest it be said that my theology is out of balance, let's go to Proverbs 11:4, where it says that riches profit not in the day of wrath, that being the God, that God's wrath, but righteousness delivereth from death. Now, those riches are any tangible type riches. It's not necessarily gold or silver. Okay? Righteousness is not a synonym for anything tangible that people rely upon to deliver them in times of trouble, be those substances gold, silver, guns, ammunition, food, Federal Reserve notes, or a debit card. Silver was synonymous with money in the Hebrew. If you go to Strong's Exhaustive Concordance, number 3701, the word is kesef, and it's translated either as money or silver several hundred times. And there are only about a handful of exceptions to that rule, and that would be the word kesetar, which was simply an ingot. Anyway, despite more than 800 biblical references highlighting the use of gold and silver as money, credit economists of the last century succeeded in denigrating two precious metals created by the hand of God, at least our ancestors would have said it was, so as to inculcate in the public mind a reverence for intangible credit created out of nothing by the godmen of finance. So you see, economic theory is posited on a religious foundation, whichever side of the issue you choose. So thoroughly have our values, economic and otherwise, been altered that even today's preachers parrot the devil's priesthood. Now, before we continue, let's define this word value to dispel any possible confusion that may reside in its meaning. We'll go to Random House College Dictionary, and I'll pick 1982. I haven't had one on the shelf here. We'll look up the word value, and it says, quote, attributed or relative worth, merit or usefulness, such as the value of a college education. Oh, my gosh, wouldn't you know they'd mention that? Well, this is a college dictionary. Or to set great value on an idea. It goes on to talk about monetary worth, such as an increase in value, equivalent worth, or return. Definition number 7. Speaks of ideals, customs, institutions, etc., that arouse an emotional response for or against them in a given society or a given person. End quote. So value is used in an emotional sense or in a subjective sense, if you will, to express the worth or satisfaction that we derive from the acquisition or consumption of something. Subjective values belong to or reside in the mind as opposed to residing in the object. Now, in the objective sense, the word value refers to the inherent or intrinsic qualities of an object. And you often hear this word inherent or intrinsic spoken of in conjunction with gold. And it means simply the characteristics which are fixed, knowable, the same to everyone, everywhere, and at all times. The inherent or intrinsic characteristics of pork, that's pig, by the way, are likewise knowable. You know, the color, the taste, the smell. But the desirability of pork varies from one person to the next. There are those who enjoy a breakfast of pig bacon and will offer current market price to get it. There are others, however, who wouldn't touch it with a 10-foot pole, and they will give you nothing for it. The objective value is the same to both parties, the intrinsic characteristics of pork. The subjective value can be as different as day and night. The Bible has probably influenced more people to abstain from eating pork, by the way, than any book in the field of health. physical objects possess inherent characteristics such as color, taste, texture, smell, sound, such as when it's struck or when it's dropped. Silver, for example, is a white ductile metal with a specific gravity of 10.5 at 20 degrees centigrade, and every substance has its own unique traits or attributes. But where do these objective values originate? Well, they originate with the manufacturer, and in this case, the creator of heaven and earth. Regarding the subjective or psychological values, the satisfaction that we derive from acquiring or consuming something, these originate with man and vary from one person to another, from place to place and from time to time. Of what value is a bucket of sand to an Arab in his native habitat? But what's it worth to a motorist who's stuck in the snow up in Minnesota? Or maybe somebody who is mixing concrete? Of what subjective value is the Bible to a Christian in search of eternal truth? Well, a great deal. But of what value is the Bible to a communist revolutionary? Absolutely nothing. Why? Well, in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 14, we read the answer. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. That doesn't say much for communists, does it? Romans chapter 8 and verse 7 says, because the carnal mind is enmity, or hatred, against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. Well, communists, socialists, fascists are not subject to the law of God. So, objective values are inherent or intrinsic to the object itself, while subjective values originate in the mind of man. But they also originate in the mind of God, because he sees things that he considers valuable. But he knows the intrinsic qualities, and it's the intrinsic qualities that determine whether it's valuable. As the saying goes, beauty is in the eyes of the beholder. You've heard the saying. In fact, you've heard people sometimes say, what does she see in him? Well, it may be that she knows more about the intrinsic value of the man than anybody else does. We're reminded that God does not have the same set of values as most people. In Luke chapter 16, verse 15, for example, for that which is highly esteemed among men is abomination in the sight of God. Now, wait a minute. That doesn't sound very encouraging. For that which is highly esteemed among men is abomination in the sight of God. Well, the expulsion of God's word and prayer from government schools, which God seems to esteem rather highly, but we don't, it coincidentally parallels the removal of our gold and silver from our coinage. And both actions indicate that America's current status is that we disregard the same standards that our forefathers adopted and which once guided our ship of state. In Isaiah 5, verse 20, Isaiah 5:20, woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. That's what we've done. See, our values are different from the values of our forefathers. Why? Well, our religion changed. Maybe the religion changed because our values changed, but the religion indicates our values. The Word of God is identified in Psalm 119:105 as a lamp unto our feet, the means by which the pathway of life is illuminated so we can see and avoid the spiritual hazards that confront us. But that light is of no value today to be passed on to our next generation. This is Dad and Line. I'm Bruce G. McCarthy. Values Clarification, Part 1, is our message.
The IRS is a private corporation, not a government agency. Income tax is collected by voluntary compliance. To learn to unvolunteer or discontinue volunteering into the IRS, visit escapeharassment.com and immediately implement strategy 1. The process must be repeated each and every time. Paper, letter, envelope, presentment, etc. Always and forever. Failure equates to acceptance, subsequent resultant contract, and you pay or go to jail by your own consent and agreement contract. Avoid recontracting. Visit escapeharassment.com and implement strategy 1 immediately. Bar lawyers and accountants won't help you. Why wait? Get Strategy One and immediately implement it to divorce the IRS today and forever. That's EscapeHarassment.com, Strategy One, to be free from the IRS. EscapeHarassment.com.
Nice shooting. Hey, that's a sweet AK-47 chest rig. Is that multicam?
Yep, got it from StrikeHardGear.com.
Strike what?
StrikeHardGear.com.
Set your sights on StrikeHardGear.com. Tough, tactical gear for your Soviet-style weapon that's made in the USA. Affordable, plus a no-questions-asked 30-day money-back guarantee and lifetime replacement warranty. StrikeHardGear.com. Go ahead. Pull the trigger.
This is Dr. Robert Rowan here to give you an important message regarding stem cell treatment. World-renowned physician, stem cell expert, and friend Dr. David Steinblatt has performed over 8,000 stem cell treatments since 2001. Bone marrow stem cells are completely legal to do here in the USA. The bone marrow stem cell treatment is not only fast, done in less than 2 to 3 hours, but is relatively pain-free and has little to no recovery time. Dr. David Steinblatt and his office are able to help and treat patients who suffer from cerebral palsy, traumatic brain injury, stroke, macular degeneration, arthritis, Parkinson's disease, congestive heart failure, and more. Personally using their services for my knee and seeing great improvement, Dr. David Steinblatt is highly recommended by me. Go to stemcellmd.org or call 800-300-1063 to find out more. Again, stemcellmd.org or call 800-300-1063 today to receive more information.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Hey neighbor, what are you doing digging? You had a heart attack last year.
Oh, I know. I was told no more hard labor.
Then why are you digging?
Well, I've been taking Extendovite. It's been approved to help my heart.
Extendovite? Is that a new drug?
No, not a drug. It's more like an herbal combination made from garlic and cayenne.
Herbal? How can that help?
Well, actually, we've taken herbs for thousands of years, and Extendovite is doing the job for me.
Does your doctor know about Extendovite?
Yeah, my doctor knows, and he said it seems to be working for you, so don't stop taking it. I feel great taking Extendovite. I don't want to stop.
To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Get the hardest hitting rebel newspaper of them all by mail anywhere in the CSA or U.S. for the next 12 issues. Send $25 cash, check, or money order to TFF, P.O. Box 385, Silver Hill, Alabama, 36576.
Donation today.
Welcome back to the final segment of this installment of Datum Line, today's message, Values Clarification, Part 1. You know, someone once said that when society educates their offspring without the benefit of godly spiritual values, then such a society will bequeath to the world a monstrous generation of very clever devils. Reports from Vietnam, Panama, Afghanistan, and Iraq regarding the conduct of some of America's soldiers seems to bear record of a cruel and merciless generation who believe we evolved from a rock and have no more purpose in life than any other animal. You know, if it feels good, do it. And then when the system is done with you, report to the Department of Human Resources. You're just another number in the corporate fascist state. So what we sow, we reap. Subsequent to banning godly instruction from our public schools, which were transformed into Marxist brain laundries, pursuant to the 10th plank of the Communist Manifesto, America began to reap the fruit of her doings, with marked increase in crime, teenage pregnancies, lower SATs, and so forth. Several decades ago, and in mute testimony to this fact, the education establishment trotted out a new course of instruction, calling it moral development, one aspect of which was known as Values Clarification, from which the title of this message was selected. Well, what are values clarification? Well, we'll turn to Wikipedia. Under character education, subtitle, values clarification. And they define it, sort of. They say values clarification does not tell you what you should have, what values you should have. It simply provides the means to discover what your values are. End quote. Wikipedia. This raises a few questions concerning elementary school students in particular. For how does a 5 to 10 year old know what his or her values are, where they came from, when they arrived, or if they exist at all? An underlying premise among sociologists and child psychologists is that children enter the world with their minds completely empty, a blank slate, called a tabula rasa. And it's defined by a Random House College Dictionary 1982 as, quote, a mind not yet affected by experiences, impressions, etc. It's a Latin phrase, tabula rasa, and it means scraped tablet or clean slate. Well, do you believe that you're born into the world with an empty mind? Because if this were true, then how many values or standards of moral conduct are likely to be found in the mind of a 5 to 10 year old child? Not too many. So if values clarification simply provides the means to discover what your values are, and they don't yet exist, then what is the real purpose of values clarification? For a child thrust into a compulsory school environment, this is a most unsettling question with profound consequences that may last a lifetime. How would you expect your 7-year-old child to respond when told about a wonderful story concerning two kind and loving men who lived together in matrimonial bliss? This being read to them aloud by a teacher who exerts authority over your child simply because you put your child into that environment. Any child knows intuitively that the parent's intent is that the child learn and accept what is being taught. Otherwise, you wouldn't send them there. And since Congress declared that there will be no discrimination with respect to alternate lifestyles, then federally funded schools will insist that any child given into their care must not leave as a hate-filled bigot. Values clarification was the means to legitimize a new set of values by eradicating any mental reservations about them from whatever their source. The process of erasing those barriers strongly suggests that the child was not born with a blank slate. See, there's a maxim of law. He who asserts must prove. In other words, the burden of proof resides with the plaintiff. Well, can sociologists and psychologists prove that a child is born with a mind that is absolutely empty? Because the Bible suggests otherwise. And many of our ancestors believed what that book had to say, teaching their children to be guided by a clean conscience. That was the law written on the heart, or in the mind, as it says in Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 11 through 14, Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 31 through 34, Hebrews chapter 8, verses 8 through 10, and Hebrews chapter 10, verse 16, and elsewhere. If the law of God is written in the heart or in the mind, at least the Bible says that of the Hebrew Israelites, then when was it put there? Do other mammals, reptiles, amphibians, birds, and fish manifest alternate lifestyles? And if not, why not? Could it be because the natural instinct of God's creation is antagonistic to America's newly discovered moral values? Could this instinct in animals be an example of a law written into the DNA or the genetic code of every creature? Our ancestors seem to believe so. And for all of their sorry mistakes and imperfections, it was because of them and their old-time religion that you can hear my voice today. Well, according to Wikipedia, values clarification came under attack because it served to bring about moral relativism, where no standard of moral absolutes is acknowledged, and that hastened the moral decline of America's youth. Now, Wikipedia didn't say all of that, but they did say that values clarification came under attack because it taught moral relativism, or at least it was asserted that it did. Now, to continue on this course of moral relativism without arousing any further unnecessary opposition, the name was changed to character education. And we'll come back to this later on in this series. But for now, what is meant by the word moral? If public education is going to teach moral development, and since the Bible is no longer serving as our source of moral values, then what is the standard of reference by which morality is now defined? Well, Random House College Dictionary again says moral, of, pertaining to, or concerned with right conduct or its principles. Two, being in accordance with such principles. Three, conforming to these principles rather than to law, custom, etc. That's strange. Such as a moral obligation. Number 11 definition was principles or habits with respect to right or wrong conduct. Synonyms are standards. The synonyms are the word standards, morals, ethics. They refer to rules and standards of conduct and practice. Morals refer to generally accepted customs of conduct and right living in a society and to the individual's practice in relation to these, the morals of our civilization. Well, that's what Random House said in 1982. But nothing was said as to how those standards of right and wrong behavior are to be defined, or specifically who makes this determination. But if we go back to an early American dictionary, the American Dictionary of the English Language, Noah Webster, 1828, here's what he said, quote, moral, relating to the practice, manners, or conduct of men as social beings in relation to each other, and with reference to right and wrong, the word moral is applicable to actions that are good or evil, virtuous or vicious, and has reference to the law of God as the standard by which their character is to be determined. That's quite a difference. While Noah Webster identified the source of our moral standards as being God, Random House leaves the source of that determination to your own discretion. So if we can ignore the Bible as that source, then we're free to do what we want, and man becomes his own God. That's what secular humanism is all about, and is simply a repeat of the Genesis account in chapter 3, where Adam and Eve followed the evil counsel of what was figuratively called the serpent, who said that they could become like God. Well, we're approaching the end of this segment, and rather than jump into an additional subject, I will leave this with you. Our message today was values clarification. This is Datumline. I'm Bruce G. McCarthy. And in our next broadcast, it will be values clarification part two. We will continue our discourse on this subject, why it's being taught in the schools, and how it relates to our economic system, why America is not about to change its course of action until it gets its mind right, as they said in Cool Hand Luke. Thank you very much for listening. I hope this has been of interest to you. Have a good day.